KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint. K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove. KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay. KFPS, 88.1 FM in Falls Pass. And KKQA, 88.1 FM in Accutan, Alaska.
It's time now for your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset, starting with your coastal water forecast, courtesy of the National Weather Service of Anchorage, Alaska. From Sitkanap to Castle Cape, small craft advisory tonight and Tuesday. Today, south winds 20 knots, seas 4 feet with rain. Tonight, south winds 30 knots, seas 8 feet with rain. And Tuesday, south winds 25 knots, seas 8 feet with rain. Castle Cape to Cape Tolstoy, small craft advisory through Tuesday. Today, southeast winds 25 knots, seas 5 feet with rain. Tonight, south winds 25 knots, seas 8 feet with rain. And Tuesday, southeast winds 25 knots, seas 8 feet with rain. Cape Tolstoy to Cape Sarashef, small craft advisory through Tuesday. Today, south winds 30 knots, seas 5 feet, building to 9 in the afternoon with rain. Tonight, south winds 20 knots, seas 9 feet with rain. And Tuesday, south winds 15 knots, seas 11 feet. Port Hyde and Nelson Lagoon, small craft advisory through tonight. Today, southeast winds 20 knots, increasing to 30 in the afternoon, seas 3 feet with rain. Tonight, southeast winds 25 knots, seas 3 feet. And Tuesday, east winds 20 knots, seas 2 feet. Nelson Lagoon to Cape Sarashef, small craft advisory today. Today, southeast winds 30 knots, seas 4 feet with rain. Tonight, south winds 20 knots, seas 3 feet. And Tuesday, east winds 15 knots in the morning, becoming variable, seas 2 feet. Your detailed forecast for the Alaska Peninsula. Today, rain. Highs near 41. Southeast winds 15 to 20 miles per hour, with gusts as high as 25. Tonight, showers. Lows around 37. South winds 20 miles per hour with gusts as high as 25. And Tuesday, showers. Highs near 44. Southeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour, becoming southwest in the afternoon. Your tide predictions for the Popoff Island. There was a high tide at 2:46 a.m. at 8 feet 7 inches. A low at 9:42, a minus tide of 2 feet 2 inches. A high at 4:14 at 6 feet 5 inches. And a low tonight at 9:25 at 2 feet. Your sun rose at 7:06 this morning, and your sun will set at 10:13, bringing us up to 15 hours and 8 minutes of daylight hours. And that was your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset here on KSDP and KAEB. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
Today on KUCB News, Unalaska students collected medals and set new records at the Native Youth Olympics last week in Anchorage. And a new tool helps Alaska residents recognize when they're being overcharged for procedures. All of that and more coming up.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by GCI. Fiber Plus Internet is now available in Unalaska. GCI now offers high-speed internet in your community at the same plans and same pricing as Anchorage. More information at gci.com/internet.
You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. It's Monday, April 28th, 2025. I'm Sophia Stewart-Rossi with some local news. The Unalaska Native Youth Olympics team took third place at the state games in Anchorage this weekend, and one student athlete set a new record in the one-hand reach. Senior Anatoly Foman broke the record and took first place in the one-hand reach with a 70-inch mark, just shy of breaking the world record. The team had 9 other placements with 2 other gold medals. Declan Nettleton took first in the boys' wrist carry, and Caden Parker took first in the Alaskan high kick. We'll have more on the team's win later this week from our student intern, Lucy Bagley, who also placed at the tournament. Friday was Arbor Day, a holiday dedicated to planting and preserving trees around the country. Trees aren't native to most of the Aleutian Islands, including around on Alaska, but there is a large group of them on Mackinac Island. Here's a bit of history behind the national landmark, Sitka Spruce Park. The name speaks for itself. Sitka Spruce Park on Mackinac Island has dozens of spruce trees, creating a rare forest-like sanctuary. Regional lands are known for their tundra valleys filled with grasses, plants, and bushes, not a 10-foot tree in sight. But that changed in Unalaska during the 1800s when Russian colonizers planted many Sitka spruce trees on the island. Rachel Mason is an anthropologist with the National Park Service. She says the plot of spruce trees later became the site of North America's first afforestation project, where trees were introduced to an area that didn't have them before.
The Russians needed a lot of trees for boats and for buildings, mm-hmm. mostly, and then also to burn for wood. And when they colonized the Aleutians, they liked to bring the environment that they needed with them.
Mason says the Russians transplanted Sitka spruce trees from southeast Alaska because they were known for their hardiness and ability to withstand challenging conditions. It's hard to grow trees in the Aleutians because of persistent strong winds. But Mason says the Russians didn't know how to live without wood.
Somebody got the idea in about 1800 or 1805, I think is the best estimate of when they were planted. But the idea of becoming self-sustaining was that they would have the trees right there.
For thousands of years, the Onunga people lived in the Aleutian Islands without trees. Mason says the land was like bread and butter to them. They relied on marine resources for nearly all aspects of their lives.
The Onunga did not use much wood at all before the Russians came. Even their houses, although they might use driftwood in building the semi-subterranean houses, they used whalebone a lot too.
Today, Sitka Spruce Park is managed by the City of Unalaska's Department of Parks, Culture, and Recreation. Dozens of trees circle the park's pirate-themed playground and small field. Department officials say the original spruce trees from the 1800s are all gone, but their offspring are standing high today, alive and healthy. The other spruce trees dotted around the island likely came from the original tree's seedlings. In Unalaska, I'm Sophia Stewart Rossi. The Division of Insurance launched a tool this month to help Alaskans better understand the costs of common health care procedures. The new database will compare costs for Medicaid and Medicare, Premera, and MOTA. MOTA and Premera are the two biggest private insurance providers in the state. Lori Winghire directs the State Division of Insurance. She hopes Alaskans can use the database to recognize when they're being overcharged.
So if you're looking to have a procedure or a treatment or such, and you can see that the average cost is $200 on the database, but yet your quote that you had from your provider is $600. Well, somewhere, again, we're averaging things, there's a provider that's less than $600.
Alaska's healthcare costs are some of the highest in the world. She says creating the database is one of the first steps in a long journey to help bring down the costs. Winghire says reducing healthcare costs overall is a priority for Governor Dunleavy and his administration.
We are addressing it, but this is a problem that's going back 50 years, and it's going to take time to resolve it.
Right now, Medicare and Medicaid are reimbursed for treatments and procedures at much lower rates than private insurance. And that means providers in Alaska shift those costs to other insurance plans. That's part of what makes healthcare so expensive in the state. Alaskans can access the health cost database through a link at insurance.alaska.gov. 2 decades after an act of Congress mandated special requirements for driver's license and identification cards, the federal government is set to enforce its Real ID program at the nation's airports. As KYUK's Evan Erickson reports, while authorities say they anticipate the change going relatively smoothly, questions remain for tribes in western Alaska.
While a host of other acceptable forms of ID for travel remain, beginning May 7th, those regular old Alaska driver's licenses will no longer be sufficient to board domestic flights. The deadline will change ID requirements for both TSA-screened flights and the small air carriers that serve the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta's 56 villages. For residents who must fly to Anchorage and beyond to access medical care and other services, there may be multiple challenges to updating IDs. Those seeking real ID-compliant driver's licenses, state identification cards, or passports must bear high costs to travel to Bethel for in-person appointments. In response to these types of challenges, the Alaska Department of Motor Vehicles created an opportunity for remote communities to receive services through its mobile DMV program launched in 2020. So far, it has served a total of 4 communities, all in the Bristol Bay region, and at a cost of roughly $7,000 per visit billed to the regional Native Corporation, according to the Anchorage Daily News. For reasons that remain unclear, mobile DMV services have yet to come to the YK Delta. In a letter sent last summer, Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation CEO Dan Winkleman urged Governor Mike Dunleavy to send DMV workers to the region to avert a potential crisis accessing care outside the region. Winkleman wrote that the healthcare provider sends roughly 300 patients weekly to Anchorage for medical needs. He also wrote that in addition to the prohibitive costs of travel to Bethel to obtain a real ID, the percentage of tribal IDs that airports would deem acceptable was, quote, unknown and likely very inconsistent by village. YKHC did not respond to a request for comment about the state's response to the letter. The DMV's Division Operations Manager, Lauren Whiteside, says there has been interest from the region, but not the necessary follow-through.
It's just about communities following the steps and following through to actually pursue bringing the mobile unit. We do need original or certified copies of birth certificates and or marriage certificates. So there's a lot of legwork that a community needs to do when they are considering bringing the mobile unit.
She says the DMV has so far issued real IDs to roughly half of the state's total population.
We think that because we've been issuing these for more than 6 years, we're hopeful that Alaskans who want them have them or have a plan in place to get one.
Daniel Velez is a spokesperson for the U.S. Transportation Security Administration, which operates airport screening points where the new rules will be enforced. He says the agency is optimistic about the long-delayed change.
We're pretty confident, and a lot of the State Department of Motor Vehicles are pretty confident in their numbers that most individuals are going to have some form of either a real ID or some form of acceptable ID. Right now, 81% of people that we are screening are presenting at least a real ID or some form of acceptable ID.
The U.S. Department of Homeland Security has approved photo IDs issued by federally recognized tribes for domestic air travel, but it's unclear which tribes already have adequate identification among their members and how many people in the region may still be lacking. The Association of Village Council Presidents, which represents 48 communities across the region, currently has the ability to issue real ID-compliant tribal ID cards in Bethel, featuring a holographic AVCP logo and the name of one's respective tribe. AVCP did not respond to a request for comment regarding the effectiveness of the service or how many people it had served. While the upcoming deadline is a hard deadline, there may still be some flexibility. TSA recently approved a phased enforcement plan that pushes the date of absolute compliance to May 7, 2027. But Velez says there are no guarantees for travelers who show up at airport screening points without proper ID.
They'll have to be pulled off to the side, and they're going to have to go through an enhanced screening process. We are asking folks to get to the airport much earlier than they normally do. So if somebody was getting to an airport 2 hours prior, they should probably look to be there 2.5, 3 hours prior if they do not have any form of acceptable identification.
One alternative to going through the state of Alaska for a real ID is to apply for a passport, which also requires obtaining certified documents, usually birth certificates. Bethel City Clerk Kevin Morgan says applications from around the region have spiked in 2025.
So compared to last year, we're about double the amount of passport applications that we've gotten.
After May 7th, passports will continue to be an acceptable alternative to real ID driver's licenses and identification cards for flying domestically. In Bethel, I'm Evan Erickson.
Let's take a look at KUCB's community calendar this week. The Calangan Tribe Wellness Program's Culture Night this Wednesday will be on MMIP poster making for the May 5th Walking with Our Sisters event. Culture Night will take place from 5:30 to 8 in the evening at the tribal office. All supplies will be provided, and everyone is welcome to join. Fireside Writing Club will meet this Thursday from 7 o'clock to 8:30 in the evening at the Unalaska Public Library. Writers of all experience levels, age 16 and up, are invited to share poetry, spoken word, song lyrics, short fiction, and other creative work in a supportive environment. This event happens monthly. The Unalaska Visitors Bureau and RNDC will be hosting the 19th Annual Wine Tasting Gala and Fundraiser this Saturday from 7 o'clock to 10 in the evening at the Grand Aleutian Hotel on the second floor event rooms. The event is themed Circus of the Sea. Guests can enjoy 12 select wines paired with appetizers, and attendees will have opportunities to participate in a live auction, silent auction, door prizes, and split the pot drawings throughout the evening. For more information on this week's community calendar events, head to our community calendar at kucb.org. That's the news from Unalaska. I'm Sophia Stewart Rossi, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.
It's time now for your community window here on KSDP. Starting with job openings, the QT Tribe of Sandpoint is looking for a grant writer, an executive director, an environmental assistant, and an administrative assistant. The Shimigin Corporation of Sandpoint is hiring a bartender. The Palof Harbor Tribe is hiring a tribal environmental coordinator. The City of Sandpoint is hiring a part-time pull-tab sales assistant, a full-time temporary public works laborer, and a full-time temporary office harbor assistant. Each is hiring a behavior health trainee and a community health representative. Both of those positions can be in Sandpoint or King Cove. They are also hiring a clinical information clerk for King Cove, a community health aide for Falls Pass and Nelson Lagoon, and a clinical information clerk slash janitor for Cold Bay. Today is April 28th, 2025. Happy birthday to Anna Gould, and happy birthday to Sam Brandel. And that's all for the community window. If you have anything you'd like for us to put on the air or web, you can contact us through email at cw@apradio.org. You can call us at 907-383-5737, or you can still fax us at 907-383-5271. Also, look for updates, meeting archives, and more at apradio.org. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Programming on KSDP is supported by the Shumigin Corporation. Located in Sandpoint, the Shumigin family of businesses includes property and equity management, the Sandpoint Tavern, the Anchor Inn Motel, and the Anchor Inn Lounge. The Shumigin Corporation, serving its shareholders and the people of Sandpoint, on the web at www.shumigin.com or by telephone at 907-383-3525. The Shumigin Corporation, hometown values and service, a proud sponsor of KSDP.
Just song called Kill Me from Big Tim's last hip. Too much of a risk for a golden disc. The price he paid for money. Ce soir, ce soir. Assassination d'un rock and roll star. Ce soir, ce soir. Assassination d'un rock and roll star.
my mind I see a mirage on the wall. What's unfortunate there, it's not
as it is in Dallas. Come play with me in my room. You can hold me high, yeah. I'm gonna be your boyfriend, boyfriend.
I can see a bunch of wet creatures. Look at them on the run. KSDP 830 AM, Sam Point, Alaska, K20 1DA 88.1 FM, King Cove.
Yeah. recognize my face. Say you don't care who goes to that kind of place. Knee deep in the hoopla, sinking in your fight. Too many runaways eating up the night. Marconi plays the bomba, listen to the radio. Don't you remember? We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. Someone always playing corporation games. Who cares? They're always changing corporation names. We just want to dance here. Someone stole the stage. They call us irresponsible. Write us off the page. Marconi plays the mama. Listen to the radio. Don't you remember? We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. We built this city. We built.
Set of blues. This is Dr. Michael Livingstone from Cold Bay on the Alaska Peninsula. In 1964, the magnitude 9.2 earthquake took down all systems, water, electricity, and communications. My dad had to get into his little car and drive to the top of Baldy Mountain and turn on his car radio to receive updates and news from a radio station in California. Support your local radio station.